what would you say if I told you that what you're about to listen to, you could actually hear live as it happens, weekday mornings from 5:30 until 10?
It's like magic.
Now let me ask you this.
Witchcraft.
How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?
Oh, brother.
I'd like to talk to you about getting some elective surgery.
That you desperately need.
While you eat your chicken wings. Oh, memories. Hey, everybody, it's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. This is, we hope, a pleasant enough review of what we got done on our morning show, which, again, as the fella mentioned at the very beginning, you can hear live, online even, if you want, at planet939.com or, of course, on the FM radio at 93.9 FM.
How you like that?
Where do you want to get started today, pal?
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
I have a rare Florida man story that doesn't involve the cops. This is unusual. I don't know what to make of this.
Someone swallowed by an alligator?
No, it doesn't involve an alligator or the police in any way, shape, or form.
That's weird.
University professor just broke the record for the longest time living underwater without depressurization. Happened over this weekend at a Florida Keys lodge for scuba divers. This is, I guess, in Key Largo. Joseph Dietrich's 74th day, residing in Jules Undersea Lodge, which is situated at the bottom of a 30-foot deep lagoon in Key Largo. Not much different than his previous days when he first submerged on March 1st. This guy likes to be called Dr. Deep Sea.
Is it okay if we don't call you that?
I live under a lagoon,
right, so
and
like,
I have a degree. I would prefer you call me Dr. Deep Sea. It says here on his 74th day, he ate a protein-heavy meal of eggs and salmon that he prepared using a microwave. Oh, my God. Microwave eggs and fish under the sea in a little deep pressurized area? No thanks. He also exercised with resistance bands, did his daily push-ups, and then he took an hour-long nap. Unlike a submarine, you see, the lodge does not use technology to adjust for the increased underwater pressure. The previous record was 73 days, 2 hours, and 34 minutes. That was set by two Tennessee professors back in 2014.
So it's just like sitting in a fishbowl.
I mean, I guess.
Like a little, does it look like a little castle, like in the fishbowl?
That's sort of what it looks like. Yeah, I mean, looking out the window at this guy, he's looking out the window under the sea, it looks like something you would get at the pet store to put in your fish tank.
Now, how clear is the water?
Well, it's a lagoon.
Not very clear at all.
He does not want just the record, now that he's got it, 74 days. That's not enough. The plan is to stay in this undersea lodge until next month. On June 9th, he will have reached 100 days and completed his underwater mission that he dubs Project Neptune 100.
Boy.
This guy seems like a lot.
Uh-huh.
The mission combines medical and ocean research along with educational outreach.
Does he ever go for a swim?
Well, no, you can't leave. They don't have a pool in the undersea lodge, do they?
He just sits in there.
I don't understand it. How much do you have to pay a night to be in Jules Undersea Lodge? That's a good question. What do you do to not be bored out of your mind? They say here on their website, Key Largo Undersea Park is the home of Jules Lagoon. We offer the scuba professional and their student the ability to complete their instruction when the weather's not favorable to take a new diver out to the ocean. Our lagoon is also available to certified divers who'd like to check out new diving gear or just get wet. the Neptune 100 Days Under the Sea. It's Project Neptune. Would you like to hear more from this lunatic? Project Neptune.
Hello, my name's Thane Milhone. I'm the Habitat Operations Manager here at Jules Undersea Lodge. Also the mission director for Neptune 100, our 100-day mission that's coming up soon. And we're very excited about the 100-day mission. When Dr. Joe Dutoury approaches, we felt it would be the perfect time. We had the 50th anniversary of the underwater habitat La Chalupa, which became Jules Undersea Lodge in 2022.
That's right. It used to be called La Chalupa. He's living in La Chalupa.
You get like dinner and a show?
I mean, it's like a trailer underwater. It's what this looks like to me. None of this makes any sense. There's nothing to do down there other than microwave some eggs and salmon and then take a nap, maybe. I don't understand what any of this means.
Lose your mind.
Like, if you wanted to do an overnight mission, two students or citizen scientists, you can have one overnight for $4,000, it says here.
Do they have like some sort of wedding night special?
Under the sea, man. Uh-huh. Where's the honeymoon suite?
Right.
Dr. Deep Sea.
That's interesting you mention that because performing tonight, it is honeymoon suite.
and it's weird that they're going to be doing I Got a New Girl Now. On this, your wedding night.
This, your wedding night.
Dr. Deep Sea says, the record is a small bump, and I really appreciate it. He works at the University of South Florida as an educator and holds a doctorate in biomedical engineering. He's also a retired U.S. naval officer. He says, I'm honored to have the record, but we still have more science to do. His research includes daily experiments in physiology to monitor how the human body responds to long-term exposure to extreme pressure. He says the idea here is to populate the world's oceans, to take care of them by living in them and really treating them well. We haven't gotten to the point where we got to worry about living in the oceans.
God, I hope not.
The outreach portion of the mission includes conducting online classes and broadcast interviews from his digital studio beneath the sea. Do you want to have Dr. Deep Sea on the show with us? During the past 74 days, he's reached over 2,500 students through online classes in marine science and more with his regular biomedical engineering courses at the University of South Florida. And while he loves living under the sea, there is one thing he really misses. And he says that is the sun.
Makes sense. He does something he calls a codcast.
He says, the one thing I miss most about being on the surface is literally the sun. The sun has been a major factor in my life. I usually go to the gym at 5, and then I come back out and watch the sunrise. Oh, boy.
Yeah, the sun's kind of been a big factor in all our lives.
Yeah, I think you could argue that. It's like we're all revolving around it. Literally. Yeah, well, there you go. Congratulations, Dr. Deep Sea. The rare Florida story where no one got arrested and no one got mauled by a gator.
Still down there.
Mm-hmm.
Florida.
Can you imagine? Like,
is he all pruny?
Yeah, how does that work?
I'd be more impressed with someone who's just, like, sitting on a lawn chair in the bottom of a pool.
With, like, a garden hose hooked up to their face, or how are they able to live?
Something.
Now, that would be something else.
Give me 74 days of that, and I'm impressed.
And then you can, like, so you're just down at the bottom of a pool with a garden hose. For oxygen, and occasionally they'll like slip some oatmeal down there for you.
Uh-huh.
Now you're talking. Can you imagine?
Now you've got a record to be proud of.
What, this guy's just eating eggs and fish from the microwave. Can you imagine walking into that pod?
He doesn't Stinky. Notice. He doesn't notice it.
No, he's gone nose blind.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Two.
I've wondered sometimes if people who do extraordinary things, but do them a lot, if it becomes boring. I know you and I have had the conversation.
Like sword swallowing?
No. Okay, sure. So, sure. That's. I imagine the first couple times you're a sword swallower, that's got to be a real rush. And then you do it, your 500th time, it's just a drag. It's just what you do for work. You and I have talked on air and off air about, people who skydive. And if you're one of these people that has skydived like 1,000 times,
yeah,
is that even fun anymore? Are you just doing it to get to a number? Is it just, does jumping out of a plane, if you do it enough, become something where it's just like the mundane stuff that we all do in our day-to-day life?
We should ask the skydiving leprechaun.
Well, the last I heard, they still get a thrill.
I bet they do.
But it's not as thrilling as, I'm reminded of something.
It's always thrilling when you get hung up in a power line, which is exactly what would happen to me.
The first couple times you do anything, it's thrilling. And then it just becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I remember the first time they put me in front of one of these boards with a microphone and said, push that button and start talking.
Go ahead, Dr. Love.
I was panicking. I was just stricken with absolute fear and terror. And while that is still the case to some degree, it's not as bad as it was, say, 30 years ago. By the way, today is the anniversary. I just saw this. This is the 28th year that I've been on the air in the Quad Cities. May 15th, 95 is when I started at the original Planet.
Is that right?
Yeah, happy anniversary to me.
May 15th, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So this is my 28th anniversary.
Is that a Monday?
I don't remember. Maybe it was. I know that I came here.
Would have been weird to start like on a Wednesday.
Well, I started whenever I started. I think maybe I started on the 15th because that's when the pay period began. At Connoisseur? Was it Connoisseur? Yeah, it was Connoisseur. That owned KORB, right? I came here and I started 28 years ago today, and I had written this down. I'd written down my plan, and step one was no more than 2 years in the Quad Cities. And it's 28 years later. But back to my original premise, being terrified. Or excited about doing something.
Okay.
There's a Sherpa who has just ascended Mount Everest for the 26th time, tying a record.
Does he start from the bottom?
Well, yeah. Everybody does.
Okay, so it's not like he lives halfway up the mountain.
No.
And it's like, when you guys get here, I'll take you the rest of the way.
Hey, when you get halfway up the mountain, look for a village. There's a Sherpa there. He's totally chill.
Population of one.
He'll take you all the rest of the way.
It's him and his goat.
A Sherpa guide yesterday matched the record for most ascents of Mount Everest when he finished climbing the world's tallest mountain for the 26th time.
Now, does he come down with you at the same time, too? Or does he stay up there and do a little house cleaning?
There's no house cleaning at Mount Everest. You know, when people die on the way up there, and it happens a lot.
I know it
they
does.
Just leave them there.
I know.
Because it's too much trouble to get them.
They'd probably want to be there anyway, right? If you're someone who wants to climb Mount Everest, you probably don't have a problem with if you pass away staying up there, right?
I don't know how many of them assume that they're going to die. I read this somewhere where someone said that motivation is overrated because when you climb Mount Everest and you pass the dead bodies of all those climbers, every one of those dummies was highly motivated. What did it get them?
I wonder if
frozen and stuck to a mountain for the rest of their life.
At the base of Mount Everest, if they've got like a cartoon character sign that says you must be this tall to climb Mount Everest.
Yeah, I wonder how that works. Do you have to have permission?
Yeah.
Because
do you pay a fee?
I know it's expensive to do it if you do it the right way with these Sherpas and everything. If you just go up there with a jacket, I don't know that that's going to work out for you.
A jacket and some new tennis shoes.
Well, it would be kind of cool if you could climb Mount Everest but not go all the way. Like, if you went up a couple hundred feet, be like, ah, I climbed Mount Everest.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, make it to the top.
But I can still see my car.
That's my rule. When I'm hitting the fob, if I'm not making the horn go off, I've gone too far.
I turn around then. That's how it is when I climb any mountain.
Pa Sang Dawa Sherpa summited, the Mount Everest with a Hungarian climber.
Just one?
Yeah. The 46-year-old made his first successful ascent of Mount Everest back in 1998 and has climbed Everest almost every year since. He shares the record with another guide, Nepalese guide, Kami Rita Sherpa, who scaled the peak for the 26th time last year. Now, Kami Rita is expected to do another ascent later this climbing season, and yeah. Climbing season just began.
This is just going to go back and forth between these two.
There are fears that this is going to be a crowded season on Mount Everest, with a record 467 permits for foreign climbers having been approved.
And that's just foreign.
Yeah, like if you live in Nepal, can you just go up there? The start of the spring season delayed after three Sherpa climbers fell into a crevasse last month. They still haven't found any of those cats. Climbers generally reach base camp in April and get acclimated to the high altitude before the summit attempts begin in May.
Huh. May is your big climbing month.
Well,
huh?
If you want to get started.
Huh.
And I guess if you want to beat the crowds.
What's it run through? What's the season run through? Does it say? May through what? What do we got?
I have to imagine by June you got to wrap this up. As for Pa Sang Dawa and his client, they are descending from the top now and are said to be in good shape. An official from a hiking company, Imagine Nepal Trek, says that this year it's the 70th anniversary of the first descent of Everest by Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay. It has been summited more than 11,000 times since then. 320 people have been killed in the attempt to climb Mount Everest. 320.
Out of 11,000.
Yeah. So those are pretty good odds. I just don't know.
It just sounds like a real pain in the rump to me.
It seems unnecessary.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I've been up higher than Mount Everest. I've been in a plane.
Mount Everest is 29,029 feet.
That is something else.
It's the world's tallest mountain, and it's so big that it straddles two countries.
29,000 feet. I mean, that is like the height of a commercial airliner.
Yes.
Crazy.
You start your climb from the Nepal side. You begin at Kathmandu.
Uh-huh.
And then you take a short flight to another place, and then you track about 10 days to the Everest Base Camp. The Everest Base Camp is 17,500 feet. You spend weeks there in the spring getting acclimated to the altitude.
Uh-huh.
I think I would dig that. I think I could dig getting to the base camp and I'm just getting acclimated. That's all I'm doing.
Who said anything about climbing?
No. I'm just getting acclimated. Yeah, and then the rest of the route opens right about now. Over 700 people are doing it this year. You have to pay for the permits. 2/3 of those who do the summit do it from the south side in Nepal. The rest approach from Tibet on the north. And yeah, it's just a couple of weeks in May. And then they shut it down.
Really?
Yeah, because you got the winter ending, right? And then once June comes around, now you're in monsoon season.
Oh, I see.
You don't want those summer monsoons hitting you when you're on the
summer nights.
About 6 people die every year.
Huh.
Yeah. I just, I don't know. Of the 300 people who have died on Everest, they say there's 200 of them that have remained there. because they just can't get to them. You will die from exposure to the elements. Mm-hmm. You will run out of supplemental oxygen. You will die in sub-freezing temperatures. You will die getting caught in sudden storms. But a lot of climbers die from falls and avalanches. And many of these climbers have died from health problems like heart attacks. Yeah, it seems to me you really need to be in tip-top shape if you're going to try this sort of thing. That altitude will do a number of on your body. They say the area that's above 26,000 feet, when you go from Camp 4 to the summit of Mount Everest, that's something they call the death zone because the air is so thin and the weather is so brutal.
I don't even really care to bend over and pick up sticks anymore.
With gains in altitude, each breath draws less oxygen for your lungs and your bloodstream, which is why most of your climbers, including the guides, now use supplemental oxygen.
Oh, you got to have it. Aflac.
Typical effects of altitude, you're dealing with headaches, nausea, exhaustion. But in the death zone, high altitude cerebral edema creates a lack of muscle control, impaired speech, confusion, and hallucinations.
And yes, diarrhea. Mountain diarrhea.
Oh, no. I got a case of the Everest splatters. Did not sign up for this.
Diarrhea.
You're also dealing with frostbite, snow blindness, hypothermia.
That's why no pudding is allowed on Mount Everest.
You can't bring pudding up here, you ridiculous man. Nepal's government has placed restrictions on foreigners. The permits are expensive, and you have to go with an outfitter and different guides. Also, you got to be at least 18 years old.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it costs to climb Mount Everest?
$5,000.
Just for the permits, $11,000.
Ooh.
And then for all the stuff that you're going to need, it says anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000 or more.
Well, I better have success. Or I'm going to need some sort of rebate. Where's my check?
Hey, we didn't make it to the top.
I'd like to prorate this mountain climb.
I'm not sure that we made it to the top. I think it's possible I hallucinated that part. Did you only get me 3/4 of the way up there and then I imagined that I made it to the top? It seems like maybe I was taken advantage of. Yeah, most guides earn about $6,000 per expedition, but it depends on, like, what you're doing as a guide. Like, if you're a cook, you can make $2,500 on an expedition, but if you're, like, the lead guy, like this Sherpa that just broke the record, that's $10,000 to go up and down the mountain.
And I'm also a karaoke singer.
I've got a mixtape that I've been working on. Yeah, Let's listen to this.
Yeah, so I provide the meals and the entertainment.
I am going to be singing from the Sound of Music, Climb Every Mountain, the whole way up and the whole way down.
Ain't no mountain high enough.
I do a mountain medley I think you're going to really enjoy. Play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. And
who wants to hear Mississippi Queen?
Three.
All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Remember when we learned not that long ago that the number one snack for young people these days is Goldfish crackers? Mm-hmm. That it's far and away.
Yeah.
Before potato chips, they love Goldfish crackers. There's a new limited edition Goldfish. I guess they've done this once before.
As far as like a flavor?
Yeah, a flavor. When they did this before last spring, it sold out super quickly.
Okay.
They are re-releasing Goldfish, the limited edition Old Bay seasoned Goldfish crackers.
Here's the thing. I'm a fan of Old Bay.
Yes.
I am.
I don't doubt it for a second.
But they had some Old Bay potato chips that they made.
Yeah.
You couldn't eat them.
Too much?
Oh, they had it so seasoned.
Yeah.
It was so seasoned. I just can't believe anyone tasted that and went, yeah, that's fine.
I wonder if a goldfish lends itself more to this, though, because they're so small.
Yeah, could be.
And because it's more because of a it's more of a cracker than a chip.
Yeah, the cracker's going to be probably a little bit more of a bland canvas.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I like Old Bay, but man, I tried those. I bought the Old Bay potato chip. I tried one. I'm like, you'd need a gallon of water.
Old Bay is paprika, red pepper, black pepper, and 15 other spices. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah. It's the sort of thing that you would use like in a crab boil.
Yeah.
But you can use it for a variety of
whenever
things.
I make shrimp, I use it.
Yes.
And people,
yeah, it's great with shrimp.
Oh, it's the best.
If you just take shrimp, mm-hmm. If you just take like raw shrimp
mm-hmm.
and cook it with just like a little bit of beer and Old Bay,
mm-hmm.
oh man, that's eaten. That's eaten there.
That's as good as it gets.
That's good stuff.
The two places you can get this, by the way, you can get it at Walmart and you can get it at Target here in town.
I'm just a little suspicious concerning the if it gets over-seasoned.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind checking this out. How about this? Would you take a look at pizza that has cannabis in it? Because
it's not really necessary.
A pizzeria in New York City that infuses its food with THC oils has been shut down.
Shut it down.
They call themselves Stoned Pizzeria. This story comes to us from Philadelphia, where a pizzeria has been shut down. They put cannabis in their food and their beverages. A joint inspection by the city of Philadelphia's licenses and inspections and health departments found that Stoned Pizzeria, they just opened earlier this month, lacked a business license or a health certificate. Well,
that's a problem.
Three uniformed police officers accompanied the inspectors as they examined the business, which was guarded by a security guard. When you've got a security guard at the pizzeria, you're in for a treat. Maybe not to consume so much as just partake in and enjoy. They were attempting to fulfill to-go orders when the inspection occurred.
What inspection?
Well, just because you don't have a license or a health certificate doesn't mean we're not going to come and inspect things.
Well,
one of the to-go orders had a pre-rolled joint, so they would put a joint in with your pizza? I mean, it's an interesting business model.
Where is this taking place?
Philadelphia.
Okay.
The restaurant was instructed to cease operations. Oh, no. Well, at first, the general manager said, "You have no business coming in here because we're not a restaurant at all. We are an event space." And then he claimed,
"Nice try."
And then he claimed, quote, "We haven't even really opened yet, so how could we get shut down?" I think if you're taking to-go orders,
yeah, you're open.
You're open. The general manager told inspectors that the store was owned by a guy who goes by the nickname Pizza Pusha. PIZZA PUSHA, Pizza Pusha,
mm-hmm.
who owns three Stoned pizza locations in Manhattan and Brooklyn, and he says they don't have any problems in New York City. New York, you see, legalized marijuana in 2021.
It's a different ballgame.
But the dispensaries have been slow to open because of licensing issues and high startup products. It is illegal to possess or sell marijuana in Pennsylvania. And that just happens to be, a lot of people don't know this, that's where Philadelphia is.
Yes, it is.
So it's one thing if you want to do cannabis pizza, although even that I would think would get you into some sort of trouble in New York. You can't just sell pot. You have to have a license through the state. It's a whole thing.
Typically.
Yes. Maybe in New York City, they just don't care. Everybody's just cool about it. They got enough on their plate to worry about. I don't know. But in Philly,
They blew up the stoned pizza man late last night. Word had been spreading throughout this part of Philadelphia over the last few weeks about Stone Pizza, a business which operates behind thick gray curtains. That's another bit of a dead giveaway that maybe something's going on that...
Something a little hinky.
Oh, my gosh. Stone's Philadelphia location operates like a speakeasy. There's no sign outside, and customers are texted the address after they pay for reservations by using the Stoned Pizza app. Inside, the pizzeria is decorated with Instagrammable neon signs. Big neon signs on the wall there at Stone Pizza that say, quote, "Either light up or leave me alone." The soundtrack thumps with decades-old Eminem, Tupac, Jay-Z, and 50 Cent. Wow, this sounds like the greatest pizzeria in all of Philadelphia. Based on its social media and by a visit by a reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Stone Pizza offers the same experience in Philly as it does in New York. A fixed-priced meal at $120 a person. That includes pizza, salad, lollipop chicken, garlic knots, cannoli, sorbet, and sodas. All of which then get an addition of oils containing THC, the mind-altering cannabis ingredient. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. So you think you're having a nice pizza pie there, listening to some Tupac and some Eminem, and the next thing you know, you're hooked.
Oh, no, my eyes are turning bloodshot. I'm going on a trip. I look like I'm doped out of my gourd. That's a side effect of the marijuana poisoning.
You've got to be 21 or over, it says here on their website.
Sure.
Which also advertises a variety of edibles, concentrates, and flour available for purchase upon arrival, including fruit chews and a $150 cigar-sized spliff they call the Godfather.
Now Godfather Pizza's coming after you.
The pizza pusher says he had a light bulb moment during a cannabis dinner in California in 2015. In 2016, he threw his first cannabis dinner at a townhouse and offered guests a late-night snack of cannabis-infused pizza. Since then, he's claimed that his pizza parties and restaurants have never been shut down by law enforcement, even when they were operating illegally. He says, "I've never been hiding. They're going to get me for my pizza?" Last summer, Barrett raised eyebrows, the pizza pusher, when he posted a Instagram photo with a caption that stated his aspirations to open up there in Philadelphia.
I would like to do that.
Well, he did it. Look for them on online and you'll get an address, and then look for the thick gray curtains.
Four.
Been sharing with you other people's unpopular opinions, and we love to read yours. Text your unpopular opinion to us at 563-223-8355. I have one that is probably not unpopular so much as it's probably not the right thing to say, but I will say this. This whole writer's strike in Hollywood?
Yes.
Frankly, I'm glad there's too many shows on TV and I need to get caught up. The idea the idea that they're not making any new TV shows, I got like 30 shows I still haven't watched yet.
Now, is that you saying it?
That's me. That's my unpopular opinion. That's probably going to get me in some trouble, huh?
Yeah, but see, I'm never going to catch up.
You're not interested.
I'm not interested.
No, I've got all these shows that I want to watch, and because we have all these streaming services, I just don't ever have a chance to. It's overwhelming. So the thought of them maybe not making any TV shows for a long time, that would give me a chance to get caught up. Again,
how much time do you think you need?
Oh, I don't know.
A year?
I mean, I think it's not great that people aren't making a living.
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, it's incredibly selfish. My opinion is a selfish one. I'm owning that. It's not cool that's what I think, but that is what I think. It's my unpopular opinion. What's yours? Text them to us. Your unpopular opinions, 563-223-8355. Here's one. BLT is an incomplete sandwich.
Ugh.
Says it all in the title. The BLT is an incomplete sandwich made of only toppings. I've always been disappointed and let down and left still hungry. You need to add turkey or some other meat to it. I think it could be the fact that the tomatoes do nothing for me. And it feels like the star of the show, bacon and lettuce and turkey, that should be my BLT of the summer.
Well, see, you're a tomato hater. Mm. For those of us who are tomato lovers,
yes,
it's the perfect sandwich. It's actually the sandwich that I could probably eat from start to finish all summer long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the meal we took to the eclipse. Well, we were there for 3 days, and it's the only thing we took was bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
Well, it's perfect for summer because obviously the ingredients are plentiful. You get tomatoes like nobody's business. Yeah. And also, you're just using the toaster for the bread, right?
Yeah.
You're not getting the whole house warmed up.
No, you are not.
No, I'm with you on this.
I disagree with that take.
Unpopular opinion. There should be a discount on haircuts for people that are going bald.
I don't think that's necessarily unpopular.
I'm thinking 20% at least. Why am I paying full price for you to cut half a head of hair? I'm a male, and a haircut is about $48 plus tips another $10. So that's about $60 for a haircut. If I barely have any hair on the top, I really just need a fade on the side. It should not be costing me $60.
I would think that some sort of place, some places offer that, have to, and almost have a sign up that says,
no,
you know.
No, they're not going to get in the business of giving discounts for people with thinning hair, balding hair.
But they should.
I was at getting my hair cut a couple of months ago, and there was an older gentleman who did not have a ton of hair.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy in his 70s, maybe early 80s.
Wispy hair.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Yeah. And the stylist said, oh, no, sir, would you like me to do your eyebrows? And he goes, darling, if it wasn't for my eyebrows, there'd be no reason for me to come here and visit you. Like, that's all I have growing is the eyebrows.
So please do that.
Yes, I want you to do the
please
eyebrows.
Please do that because these caterpillars, they'll be back in a day.
Unpopular opinion. I hate Costco muffins, they say. Costco muffins are just way too big. Sometimes it can feel more like a cupcake, as it can be too cakey instead of a muffin. The top of a Costco muffin is never crispy. It's always soft, and that doesn't add anything to the flavor. If I recall, and I could be wrong, they don't even have chocolate chip muffins, which is a pretty basic flavor. Don't get me wrong, I like Costco's other bakery goods, their cookies and their tuxedo cake. But since I'm talking about their muffins, I should share, I also don't like their pumpkin pie.
So they think the muffins are too moist, huh?
I will say, this is the unpopular opinion that I take the greatest amount of grievance with. You don't know what you're talking about, and you should shut your mouth. The pumpkin pie is delicious, and the muffins at Costco are otherworldly. Hmm. I think it was our guy Brock who said that the thing about unpopular opinions when we do this bit on the show is...
Yeah.
You kind of vacillate between wanting to give someone a hug because you really share that unpopular opinion, or you want to
kick him in the shins.
Smack him right in the mouth. Unpopular opinions. Hanging photos of yourself in your house is weird. I just think it's so weird.
Uh-huh.
This was brought up after watching a 90-day fiancé episode with Kim and Usman. Usman lets Kim decorate his house, and half his frames are of himself.
So not pictures of the family, just pictures of you?
Hanging up awards and graduation photos or an achievement, that I can understand. But like having portraits of yourself everywhere in your house?
Portraits.
That's just weird. Unpopular opinions.
Alex Rodriguez and Jim Nance would disagree. And probably Derek Jeter.
Unpopular opinion. People shouldn't vent to people they work with about people they work with.
Well, that's probably a good idea.
If you have a problem with someone, go talk to them. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to that person, talk to your manager about the issues you're having, and they can help you address you. But don't go around talking garbage about people. In my mind, those who are willing to openly talk smack about people to you are also likely talking smack about you to other people.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. These are popular opinions. The band Rush sucks. There, I said it. I'm not too familiar with Rush's back catalog, but any of their songs are an instant channel changer skip for me. Their music reminds me of bad cosplaying in a big box store parking lot on a Sunday morning. Geddy Lee's voice makes me slightly nauseous. Like I'm dizzy from listening to thousands of crickets chirping at me from all directions. I can appreciate the complexity of the arrangements, but I also find it somehow annoying. Annoyingly complex. With just about 3 minutes too much proto-prog synthesis rock gibberish.
I'm not saying that you guys aren't virtuosos. Too much so.
Unpopular opinion. It's way better to eat waffles in a bowl than on a plate. Waffles are always served on a plate. What you want is the waffles to be covered in syrup, but the plate somehow prevents that, and you have to use more syrup. But if you serve the waffles in a bowl, it eliminates the problem, and you know just how much syrup to put in. The waffles then sit in a pool of syrup, and you can eat it with a spoon to get as much syrup as you want in each bite. No more wasted syrup, and a much better breakfast. Well, an unpopular opinion. I think you've solved a problem that only exists in your mind with this one, but God bless. Unpopular opinion. Competency is more of a hindrance than it is a blessing. The more competent you are, the more other people sap out all of your energy and force your talent towards things that benefit them. If you're incompetent, you don't really attract the attention of people that require help to succeed, so you have the freedom to do what you want.
I'm not good at changing diapers.
Unpopular opinions. Ice cream cakes are terrible. I don't understand why anyone would ever buy one of these ungodly hybrids. Cake by itself, delicious. Ice cream by itself, also delicious. Why would you merge these two perfect things? One, more often than not, the quality of both is substandard because the cake is cold and the ice cream needs to be formed into blocks. Two, the frosting is always flavorless and leaks food coloring all over the place. Three, it's a pain in the ass to store these things. I end up having bowls of soggy cake in the freezer. Four, if it's not soggy cake, it's leftover ice cream soup, which is more like a tie-dye syrup. Since it's cake, you know I'm going to eat the whole damn thing, but I will not enjoy it. Please buy regular cake and add ice cream as needed.
Yeah, I hear you.
I get what they're going with here. Yeah. Unpopular opinion. I like having just one pillow. People who overstuff their beds with millions of pillows and have a sea of pillows, that's messy.
Well, yeah.
I just like one pillow.
Yeah, if you got the right pillow, that makes sense.
I'm laying down, and I'm happy just making it simple, and it does help me sleep better than having millions of pillows. Last unpopular opinion. Oh, here's one. Mike texts in his unpopular opinion. Quad City-style pizza sucks.
Well, it doesn't. You're wrong. But I know that there are a lot of people that are not from the Quad Cities that don't get it, don't understand it. But it doesn't suck. It's fantastic.
Andrew has an unpopular opinion here. 563-223-8355. I actually kind of like the Star Wars holiday special. It's hard to watch, but there are things about it to enjoy. That is an unpopular opinion.
I didn't know that existed.
The Star Wars holiday special?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a thing, man. It's a thing. Came out in 78 on CBS. You've never seen I guess you wouldn't have. You wouldn't watch it.
No.
All right. Hear me out. It's a TV special starring all the stars of the movie.
Yeah.
Right? And the premise is Han Solo has to get Chewbacca home for Christmas. And then they have these bits in between where, like, Harvey Korman is the host of a Star Wars cooking show.
and he's an alien that has like five legs and he drinks out of the top of his head.
Nothing wrong with that.
You dig it the most. Yeah. It's got that like Paul Lynn variety special thing going on.
Yeah.
B. Arthur plays the bartender at the cantina.
I don't mind any of this.
Yeah, it's something else. Art Carney is in it.
That could be a double feature with the Paul Lynn Halloween special.
Oh, the Star Wars holiday special is a thing. It's...
Is Kiss on that one, too?
No, but Jefferson's Starship is.
Nice!
As is Diane Carroll, who does this very erotic song, where basically Chewbacca's father-in-law comes over to watch the video screen and watch porn. And I'm not joking. Like, she's just slinking around in a space costume talking about how I want to pleasure you. It's bizarre. Yeah, Chewbacca needs to come home for what they call Life Day. It's the Star Wars equivalent of Christmas.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
And then a very altered Carrie Fisher sings this song at the end where it's like, oh, she has no memory of doing this. You can tell from the look on her face. It's like, where am I? Where is my mind? Unpopular opinions. Mike says, whatever Mike said, Quad City Style Pizza sucks, needs to be kicked out of the Mike Club. Is that a thing?
There's a Mike Club.
Mikes all have clubs?
Yeah. There's a Mike Club.
I don't know about that. Unpopular opinions. Squirrels are beautiful, glorified rats. Think about it. The thought of having rats just even crawl by you cringes you out. But the thought of a rat grazing your skin makes you feel disgusted. But then we have beautiful looking rats, squirrels. We love to feed them, play, and admire them. But then, if you actually access its features, it's really just a fancy rat.
Well, you think everything's a rat.
Yeah, but I love squirrels. Mm-hmm. Squirrels to me are proof of a loving God. Last one. Birds are way cooler than dinosaurs. I was a huge dinosaur dork as a kid. Loved Jurassic Park. And I definitely understand the appeal of humongous animals that went extinct millions of years ago. But the version we have today, infinitely cooler. Birds sing. Birds fly. They have feathers. They have beaks. They have cool mating displays. I know dinosaurs had some of these features in a limited way, but they cannot compete with how cool modern birds are.
Birds are pretty good.
Birds cooler than dinosaurs, though? That's an unpopular opinion.
Number five. Number five.
Guy in Minnesota has created a motorcycle that runs on beer. A beer-powered motorcycle.
What a waste.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't quite understand this. He says he's not a drinker, so he doesn't think of it as a waste. The coil heats the beer up to 300 degrees, which then becomes superheated steam in the nozzles that propels the bike forward. Couldn't you just use water if you're running steam power? Why is it?
Cha.
Why you got to waste beer? Here they are up in Minnesota talking about this inventor type.
Well, from electricity to vegetable oil, people have found different ways to power their vehicles.
But a Bloomington man has a new one. He's built a motorcycle that runs on beer. Maury Glover shows us how the man has invented a unique way to blow off some steam.
The people who know me, they always kind of expect something a little bit different from me that comes out of the shop.
Over the years, Kai Michelson has made everything from a rocket.
This is the worst invention ever.
People
are furious.
People know that I'm always up to some sort of BS. Uh-huh. And here's the latest.
Powered toilet to a jet-powered coffee pot. But his latest creation is making a different kind of buzz.
One thing about this motorcycle is definitely different. And I like to be really creative, do things that other people have never done in the past.
Michelson has built...
And why do you think no one's done this in the past?
Because it's an awful idea.
He believes is the world's first beer-powered motorcycle in his garage in Bloomington. Michelson says instead of a gas engine, the bike has a 14-gallon keg with a heating coil inside. So when he pours beer into the keg, the liquid heats up to 300 degrees.
Start a fire in 3, 2, 1.
And when it goes off the nozzles in the back, the beer turns into superheated steam, which provides enough thrust to move the bike forward.
Okay, so what you can't see, because we're not a visual medium,
is the he's got two tailpipes on the back of this motorcycle.
Does it look like it's a bomb?
The steam that shoots out, yeah. It's like a rocket ship. You can't, if you're behind this thing, or if you're behind this motorcycle, there's beer all over your windshield.
This is not street legal.
Price of gas, it's getting up there. I don't drink. I'm a non-drinker, so I can't think of anything better than to use it for fuel.
Michelson says he hasn't taken his homemade motorcycle out on the road just yet.
No, because people will run you off the road.
Start seeing motorcycles, unless it's this idiot.
Has entered it into a few local car shows where it has won first place. And while the Rocket Man, as he is nicknamed, has traded...
He gave himself that nickname.
No, no.
100% this guy gave himself that nickname. No. They call me the Rocket Man.
No, they don't.
Power for Hop's power, he believes his motorcycle could reach speeds up to 150 miles per hour.
Yeah, it could be any kind of liquid. It could be Red Bull. It can be Caribou Coffee. It could be anything. But beer, why not?
Michelson plans to test his beer-powered motorcycle on a drag strip sometime soon. But after a few demonstrations, it will probably end up in the museum in his house.
It's not a museum. It's a house.
They're letting this guy just tell them whatever. Did this reporter have any follow-up questions? Museum in my house? That's just your basement, brah.
Maybe more of a boozer than a cruiser, but Michelson believes his unusual invention has raised the bar.
But we're right in its early stages, but we got it running. We got it built, and I think it looks pretty cool.
In Richfield, Maury Glover. Fox 9.
It does look pretty cool with the keg there in the middle of the motorcycle. Like, I get that part of it. But the idea that this thing is... You're not saving money putting beer in it. He estimates, it says here, that this bike could reach speeds of up to 150 miles per hour.
Go right ahead.
Again, it hasn't left the garage. He hopes to take it on the drag strip to test his capabilities.
Uh-huh.
I hope it does go 150 miles an hour.
I hope it goes 550 miles an hour.
And if his attitude is with the price of gas these days, a gallon of beer is far more expensive than a gallon of gas, right?
If it's good beer.
Yes. Come on. Stop. Even if you got a six pack of your Keystone Light.
Yeah.
What would that cost? How many cans would it take to be a gallon of beer? None of this makes any sense.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. We do hope you enjoyed, and we must thank you for spending some time with us here, enjoying our top five things. Thanks for downloading it. Hopefully you're subscribed to the podcast. If you get a chance to tell somebody that you think might enjoy about the show, that would be terrific on your part.
Someone you care about.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, you kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hi, this is Art Linkletter. Thanks for listening.
Peace out.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.